this caused a big stir is the Pew Survey poll of October. And let's talk a little bit about it, and let's see what's up with it. They have certain surveys, they have ways to do it. It's off by 3 points each way, they say. But even like that, it's pretty astonishing, some of the results here in America. As usual, they have certain ways of doing it. It's a good source. Okay, first the good news. There are a lot more Jews in America than you may have thought. An estimated how many Jews in America?
6.8 million.
How many? Nah, 1 million? Way more than that, 1 million. 6.8 million Jews in America today. That was the good news. Now for the bad news. And this is, I'm just quoting what it says.
Wait. America's in the U.S. or America's in the continent?
Oh, no. When we say, we're not saying the continent. We're saying the United States of America.
Sure.
You know, no, very good. No, in the 50 states. We're not referring to, like South America. You want to, like, include all the Argentinians and the Brazilians and all the rest? No chance. Although the statistics from there probably could be better.
There's a lot less
intermarriage. I know in Panama, there's like no intermarriage at all.
There is.
In Panama?
There's like two.
All right. Two. Here, there's like 3 million. There you go, like two.
One, it's a huge deal because you have so much.
Reminds me of a story about that, actually, about the Panamanian community. But let's just go through this. Okay, fine. So, yeah, so Marjorie, I don't think we're going to... What's going on in Brazil? Is it... No one's getting married to Jews at all in Brazil?
No, like, I don't know. It's like 80%
or something. 80% intermarriage in Brazil? And you live in the Jewish community and you're hanging 80%?
I would say so.
Thank you for coming to Stern College of Women. We appreciate it, Marjorie. Please bring all of your friends and their parents, their aunts, their uncles, and everyone else you can. Okay, wow. Yeah, well, is that famous? Brazil is like... Because I know Panama's strong. I guess it depends where you are.
It's just like in Brazil, there's so many other people.
There's so many non-Jews, is what you're trying to say, other people, yeah.
And they're all, like, mixing. People are not going to Jewish, like, high schools anymore. They all leave after 9th grade.
You're describing America, you realize that, not Brazil right now. That's exactly what it is. They're all assimilating, they're all not attending Jewish schools.
Yeah,
it's a big problem. Percentage-wise, it's garnished. Well, let's have a look at the stats. Let's see what the statistics say. Now the bad news. A growing proportion of American Jews are unlikely to raise their children Jewish or connect with Jewish institutions. The proportion of Jews who say they have no religion and are Jewish only on basis of ancestry, ethnicity, or culture is growing rapidly, and two-thirds of them are not raising their kids Jewish at all. Overall, the intermarriage rate is at 58%. 58% here in America are Jews intermarry, up from 43% in 1990 and 17% in 1970. So 1970 was 17%. Now it's got to 58%. Now, I think this is actually a little bit incorrect because they're putting into the statistic the Orthodox population, who the vast majority do not intermarry. So that's bringing the numbers down. We did this yesterday, right? If you remove from the statistical connection the Jews who are Orthodox and just look at the secular Jewish world, if you will, conservative, you know, you will find it's probably like 71%. Yes. This is the Pew Research Center. They go right there, professionals, they go right across the board. They use, they'll take thousands and select them, and they say they're off by 3 points each way, and that's probably accurate. Right, you're saying, oh, even that's like adding up. Okay, that could be. The data on Jewish engagements came from the Pew Research Center of U.S. Jews, a telephone survey of 3,475 Jews nationwide conducted between February and June and released on Tuesday. The population estimate released Monday comes from Synthesis, Brandeis University, yada, yada, yada. Okay, here are the most notable findings. You ready? 32% of Jews born after 1980, that's everyone here, right? Yeah. The so-called millennial generation. That's what you're in. I'm Generation X. I'm born 1972. That sounds old-y, doesn't it? Yeah. 1972, yes. This is the, you're the millennial generation. We're Generation X. Identify as Jews. 32% identify as Jews of no religion. So 32% of your generation are like, we're Jews, but we have no religion. What's your religion? I don't have religion, but I'm Jewish. That's how they define themselves. Compared to 19% of baby boomers, that's two generations before me, and 7% of Jews born before 1927. Overall, 22% of U.S. Jews describe themselves as having no religion, meaning they are much less connected to Jewish organizations and much less likely to raise their children Jewish. That means the kids could be Jewish, but when they asked them, they said, we're not Jewish. Now, when I was a kid, no matter how secular a Jew was, and I grew up in a, you know, fairly traditional home, but everyone supported Israel. This was like a given, right? Israel needed your support. There are lots of Jews over there. And this has changed. The emotional attachment to Israel has held steady, with 69% of respondents saying they feel attached or very attached. Only 43% said they had actually been to Israel. Now, Birthright Israel has probably raised that number incredibly. They've sent probably 150,000 young Jews to Israel for free. And I think the vast majority of them would definitely not have gone, especially with the prices now anyway. So that's done a lot for them. Far more respondents said having a good sense of humor was essential to their Jewish identity than observing Jewish law. I have no idea what that means. I wish I did. I'm just reading what it says. 42%. 42%. They said, you know what? More important than religion, it's better to have a good sense of humor. Better to laugh.
That sounds like the girl from Passion
Place. I have no idea what that means. Better to laugh and not. And I don't even know. Better be like a Jewish comedian. Better be Jerry Seinfeld than a rabbi, I guess. I don't know how to define that. I don't know what to do with that information. Okay. Okay, approximately one quarter of Jews said religion is very important in their lives. That's pretty good, 25%. Compared to how many among Americans in general? So for the Jews, a quarter, that's 25% of Jews, say religion is very important. Compare that to the American people, the non-Jews in America. What percentage of them say religion is very important? What do you think? Really? You think that?
Yeah.
You're right. It is. I didn't think it'd be that high. It's 58. It's 56%. So 25% of our people believe religion is important, and the non-Jews are 56%. Isn't that incredible? That blows me away. Is that freaky? That's freaky, no?
Yeah,
among them. But among their religions, 56% of them. Now, those of Christians and Muslims and all the rest of them in general, you're asking everyone in America, is religion very important? 56%, yeah, religion is very important. Then they asked the Jews alone, and said, among you guys, what percentage do you think is religion is important? They said 25%.
Sorry, I didn't get it. Can you repeat that?
Sure. 25% of Jews, one in four Jews, say religion is very important. Uh-huh. Among non-Jews, like people who are not Jewish, who are Jewishly challenged, right? They believe, right, 56%, over half of them, say religion is very important. That religion is very important for them, whether it be Christianity, Islam, whatever, Hinduism, Buddhism, Rastafarianism, Baha'ism, Scientology. They're probably very religious Scientologists. Among Jewish denominations, the Reformer movement remains the largest, with 35% of respondents identifying as Reform. So among the Reform movement remains the largest. They got the biggest chunk. The second largest group is Jews of no denomination. That's 30%. That means we're Jewish, but we don't. Followed by conservative, 80%, and Orthodox, 10%. So work out how many people are Shomer Shabbat among the Jewish people. 10. 1 in 10. Does that sound to you? I'm also shocked by that as well. I guess it's right. In Israel, maybe it's probably like 15-20%. 10%.
I think that definition is obscure because also like a lot of people consider Orthodox, but here they only consider Orthodox people that are super religious.
They didn't say that. They said, "Are you?" No. The question was, they didn't say super religious. They said Orthodox. They said conservative. They said Reform. They said Orthodox, and you check a box. Which group do you affiliate with? Are you Reform? Are you conservative? Are you Orthodox? Yeah.
Here's the thing that I have a question about.
Yes.
I read the study too, but at one part of it, it says even within like the ultra-Orthodox community, 16% of them regularly attend services of another faith.
So what was that? What did it say?
In the study, it literally said, among the ultra-Orthodox, 16% regularly attend services of another faith.
I don't know what that means.
It means, like, if you're ultra-Orthodox, you regularly go to a church or a mosque.
But that's obviously not what it means. If they're ultra-Orthodox, probably means they go to another denomination. They go to, like, Orthodox, non-ultra, something. I don't know.
Of another religion.
That's unusual.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't know. Just because you can have a skewed question that's misunderstood doesn't throw the whole study off. Why should that be that way?
But
I don't think so. As with other studies, the Pew study found that the Orthodox share of the American Jewish population, not South America, sorry.
I'm going
to
look
that. Of the American population is likely to grow because Orthodox Jews tend to be younger and have larger families than Jews generally. So it's a given that people from Orthodox communities will have more children and they proportionally will grow substantially as opposed to the other denominations. That's a given. Whereas an intermarriage... Intermarriage among the non-Orthodox is very, very high, as opposed to intermarriage among those who affiliate with Orthodoxy is much, much lower. Just affiliate. Never mind at religious level. Just affiliating with, like, an Orthodox synagogue is probably sufficient, is much, much lower. And therefore, it's a question as to where people are going to be. In addition... I'm going to print this out and we're going to start, and I'm going to give you copies of this as well. This is important. In addition, while past surveys showed about a half of respondents raised as Orthodox were no longer Orthodox, the Orthodox retention rate appears to be improving with just a 17% fall off among 18 to 29 year olds. So of the Jews who are raised in an Orthodox family, or a family that affiliates with Orthodoxy. It doesn't mean they're religious, by the way, but they will affiliate with an Orthodox synagogue, right? Even if they themselves may not be religious themselves in terms of mitzvah observance, I assume. Seems to be that of those, only 17% fall off. That's the wording over here, among this population. Okay? Which is still pretty high. But much, much lower. And the more you move across the religious spectrum to the ultra-Orthodox, the numbers fall down too. Obviously, you get much lower as people who reject and move away from their religion and their people. Most denominational switching among American Jews, however, remains in the direction of less traditional Judaism, which was a nice way of saying... Who are the ones who are mostly intermarrying and assimilating and not connecting to Judaism and not identifying as Jewish? And yada, 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 yada. It's mostly those people from less traditional Judaism. In the Pew survey, 90% of those who identified as Jews by religion and are raising children said they are raising them Jewish. By comparison, less than one-third of those who identify themselves as Jews of no religion are raising the kids as Jewish. So in other words, of those who said, you know what, I'm Jewish. Forget what denomination, I'm just a Jew, and that's what I am, and I'm a Jew by religion. Of those, 90% are bringing their kids up that way as well. By comparison, less than one-third of those, right, that's less than 33% and a third, who says, we're Jewish, but we have no religion, are doing the same thing. Among in-married Jews, that's Jews and married Jews, 96% are raising their children as Jews by religion. So once you in-marry, 96% will say, you know what? We're Jews by religion. Doesn't mean they're observant. Doesn't mean they keep Shabbat or keep kosher or keep Yom Kippur. Maybe they go to a Yom Kippur Kol Nidre service. You know, I met with this guy yesterday. He says, I do nothing at all. but I do call Nidre. And he drove into my Yom Kippur service. And he parked around the corner. Lovely guy, and supports the Jewish people in a great way. Very, very nice guy. But for him, that's his religion. That's not even a question. That is not a question. Question is whether his kids will marry Jewish. That's another question. Whether they'll keep on with that trend, whether they'll see their religion as their Judaism as a religion as opposed to anything else. You hear that? It's an unusual thing. I'm Jewish and that's my religion, as opposed to I'm Jewish and that's not my religion. It's a cultural thing. I'm a bagel-eating, wholesale shopping, not retail buying Jew. Okay? So, among in-married Jews, those married Jews, 96% are raising their kids as Jewish, compared to 45% among intermarried Jews. That's pretty high, actually, I think. Intermarried Jews, 45%? I think that's interesting who they actually ask. They ask the father or the wife, the mother or the father. Do they ask the Jewish partner or the non-Jewish partner? That's an interesting question. That could, you know what I'm saying? When you ask an intermarried couple, I mean, I deal a lot with intermarried couples, you know, and when you deal with them, it's like, well, who's bringing the kids up? Because sometimes the non-Jewish partner wants to bring a Christmas tree into the house. Actually, it's the other way around sometimes. Sometimes the Jewish partner wants to bring the Christmas tree to make their partner happy.
Do the kids choose?
When they want their kids to, many times the kids don't want it. Many times the kids... Yeah, it's unusual. Be surprised, yeah. Or they find a compromise, the Hanukkah bush. Many times, they'll say, we have a Christmas tree. By the way, in my book, I'm actually the whole question on the Christmas tree thing. Because I've had many people say to me, it's not a religious thing. It's a cultural thing. Right? We don't believe in the tree. If you actually look at what the tree represents, what it means, and the message of sending your kids back with a Christmas tree, you would not have a Christmas tree in your house. If you know that it comes, why that tree was chosen, because it's got three points to it, that represents the Trinity, and all the other aspects of it, it comes from pagan worship. And if you look at the whole, you'll read the answer in the book when I sell it to you. I'll give you a copy. You'll see, actually, that the religious connotations by having a Christmas tree... So in the answer to the book, I said, better to have like a Jewish symbol in the house. Put a menorah on the shelf. You know, put a shofar up there, you know what I'm saying? Stick that on the wall. But Christmas tree is not good. How do I get onto that? I'm ranting. I do this sometimes. Okay. So among Jewish observance, some 70% of respondents to the Pew survey said they participated in a Pesach Seder in 2012. Wow. Isn't that incredible? 70% did a Pesach Seder. They say in Israel, I'm looking at you, Gabriel Hutter, because you're Israeli. In Israel, even the most secular Jews, Pesach Seder, of course. By the way, that's no coincidence. Why Pesach? We're going to study Pesach together, God willing, later on in the semester. And there's something about Pesach that is, it's designed in a way, and its significance is such that families want to do it. Something very integral about Pesach. And really the whole mitzvah is actually speaking from one generation to the next generation, to the next generation. So grandparents get involved, unlike other mitzvot where your grandparents aren't there. Right? Your grandparents don't have to come over for Yom Kippur. They don't come over for Purim. They don't come over for Shabbat. But they'll come over for Pesach. So there's something unique about Pesach. That's why, what's the biggest Passover Seder in the world? Where is it? India? My friend was there. Thailand? There's like 3,000 Israelis who go after the army. They all go to these like countries traveling, you know. So they go to these Pesach Seders. If they were there for Pesach, they're there for the year usually. Pesach Seder, thousands. The amount of meat they have to bring in, the amount of food, the amount of matzah and kedem grape juice they've got to schlep in to these like far eastern countries to cater to all the Israelis who are paid to park in a Seder. That's a good thing, by the way. I'm not putting it down. You know what I'm saying? It's something. I mean, as long as it's a good Seder. Okay. 7%. What percentage of Jews fast on Yom Kippur? That's a good question. What percentage? Give me a percentage. If 70% are willing to eat matzah and do a Pesach Seder, what percentage are willing to? And that's true. They do nothing all year. You'll give a guy, oh, super Jew. Once a year. Right, Pesach year. Nah, not Tishbav. They don't know what Tishbav is. Tishbav, you're kidding me.
Okay,
here's the thing. I met something in this person I said about the Orthodox thing. It's like, for what the United States people consider them some Orthodox, they consider like the really religious people that you wear wigs. So when I used to be in D.C., they're conservative. They're like, yeah, I fasted Shavuot. Like, she didn't do much. It's like, yeah,
Kippur and Tishbav is... If someone can fast Tishbav, then they're already in the top one percentile. Right? I'm saying, forget about it. I'm talking Yom Kippur. I was shocked by it. This shocked me, by the way. This even shocked me when I saw the statistic. I could not believe it. If 70% are willing to do a Pesach Seder, give me a percent are willing to fast Yom Kippur. You're right. Many Jews I know, I run services here in the city. I get 600 people come to my services. I get so many people, I do one Kol Nidre for 250 people, then we kick him out and we do another Kol Nidre. And we do that for about 13 years. I am pretty sure the vast majority of them are fasting for all of Yom Kippur. They'll do it. So I thought, you would have thought, what do you, give me a percentage. Come on, shout out numbers. 80%. 85. What?
85.
85%.
90.
50? Chana, you think 50% of Jews are fasting Yom Kippur?
90%.
Give me a percentage. Less than what? 100? Yeah.
No, less than
probably
one.
Okay. I am shocked to say it's 53%.
What? So little?
I'm shocked by it. Does that shock you? And by the way, that's not all of it. That's part or most. That's like even if they do like, you know, like my 9-year-old not eating the night of Yom Kippur. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know that when you get young, they like, you say like 9 or 10 years old, you like skip a meal kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Because they want to get very excited about it. But in the morning, you've got to feed them. We're including those. We're including the Jews, the 30-year-old Jews, who are like, I skipped a meal. That was a fast. Me? Give up dinner? That's a fast right there. I ain't messing around with that. That was a fast. That was a fast. 25 hours? Are you crazy? I can't stop food for 25 hours. 2 hours. I'm open. No dessert? I'm open. I'm shocked. What it says over here, 53% say he fasted for all or part of Yom Kippur service that year, 2012. That's shocking. I'm shocked by that. Hannah. Which community is this? Pastor, whereabouts?
Sudbury.
Where?
Sedbury.
Yeah. Never heard of it. How many Jews there? Really? Well, it's America. A lot of Jews everywhere. You don't understand America. I came from England, and like no one's Jewish. You come to America, as far as I'm concerned, New York, everyone's Jewish unless they prove otherwise. I don't care what they look like. They could be African American. They could be Chinese. They could be... You're Jewish. You're approved to me otherwise. Then the chazaka is you're Jewish. Right? And that's the Jewish. And they come to... I was shocked when I came here. I mean, it's people. Yeah, my name is Al McCullum McKinky... O'Neill. Yeah, my mother's Jewish. That's what it's like here. That's what it's like. It's unbelievable. Everyone's Jewish. As you prove otherwise. And everyone who's got a Jewish name? No, they don't need evidence. Right, that's not good enough anymore. That, we got to check that. We got to check. Sorry, yes, carry on.
So, he was saying that, I didn't know this, but like, I guess it's like a very big cultural thing. Like, people will come to certain services for Yom Kippur if they're like, not so observant. But,
yes.
A break fast is a big thing. Even if you don't fast the whole day, come like 4:30, 5 o'clock, everyone comes to your house when they break fast.
At what time?
4:30, 5 o'clock.
One second. Let me digest this information you're giving me. I'm going to digest it now because I can't digest it Yom Kippur because I don't eat Yom Kippur. I want to digest this information. You're telling me that the big thing in the community is that you don't fast. And then you have like a little breakfast because you're not fasting. And then come 4:30, 5 o'clock, you have a break fast, which is still Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur doesn't go out till the stars come out. So they have a break fast in order to make Ne'ilah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that information. Same in your community? I mean, all these people, I was like a kiddish club, they're all out fressing. What, they can't wait to the breakfast? And we put a big spread. We got bagels, we got salads, we got cake. They do that at 4:30, 5 o'clock. Well, what is that? I mean, what's that? It's not even dinner time. It's like...
It's like a meal.
It's not a meal. Meal is lunch or dinner. Don't tell me you're adding a special... They're adding a meal. Basically, what they're doing, they're adding a meal in Yom Kippur. Like, we haven't eaten enough. It's Yom Kippur. We haven't eaten enough. We've had breakfast. We've had lunch. So what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate Yom Kippur and have another meal. at 4:30. Besides the breakfast. And by the way, when they get to the breakfast, they could eat like they haven't eaten in days. Jews at a kiddish table, you could lose a finger. They vacuum up the food. They inhale it. You put your hand in the wrong place, you get a fork in it. Someone's going to be chewing on it like it's a hot dog. Jews at a kiddish on Shabbos morning, it's like they've never seen food before in their lives. I have been physically attacked by 80-year-old women in order to get to the kiddish table. They will rugby tackle you. Sorry, in your case, football tackle you just to get to that table in order to get a piece of kugel. I've been assaulted.
Could you press charge?
I should. But I just, and the amount of food, and it's gone. It's like the elephants with the trunk. They'll like, suck it all up and shoot it into their mouths. Unbelievable. The amount of food, it's like, haven't eaten food before. So here, what you're describing, Chana, is actually they're avoiding that problem. That's a beautiful thing. Because they're saying, you know what? I don't want to attack fellow Jews in Yom Kippur. So I'm going to eat all day, so I'm in a good mood. I'm going to have an extra meal, because it's Yom Kippur, called a breakfast at 4:30, which is still Yom Kippur. And then, what I'm going to do is, after Yom Kippur, I'm going to leisurely walk over to the breakfast table and eat at a very leisurely pace, without attacking my fellow Jews.
Well, wait a second.
This is not a Boston thing. This is, where are you from? Eliana, where are you from?
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. That's all spread liberal, actually, right? I don't know. I mean, you know what? I don't know. There's liberal communities here in New York, believe me. We have no lack of liberal communities who are breakfasting at 4:30. I'm not judging. I swear to you, I'm not judging. I work in Jewish outreach. I promise. A Jew's not brought up with Judaism. We'll discuss that. That's a reality. They're not held culpable. They're really not. A Jew will talk about that. A Jew is not brought up with any Jewish education. They're considered, it's an idea called Tinek Shenishba. A Jew is not considered to be culpable for their, but some things are given. Yom Kippur, one day a year, you can't stop the fressing. One day? I find that shocking. I really do. Even me, and I'm really not judging. I got to a point, I don't judge at all. I don't really judge at all. I don't even judge Jews who grew up observant enough. I really, you know, I get judgmental of certain Jewish leaders when they pervert Judaism. That's something else. And change the laws, that's something else. That's the Jewish people who run these platforms and will teach bad Judaism that I have no time for. That already, that gets my goat. Is that the expression? I don't have a goat. But that. But the Jew, the communities, the people in the communities, they don't know. As far as they know, they're doing a mitzvah. It's Yom Kippur. Let's break fast. It's 4:30.
No,
we continue. Yes, yes. That's not easy. As a Jew, not even for 3 hours, I find that very, very difficult myself. It's just Yom Kippur. That's all I'm talking about. In Great Neck, they do this? I can't believe that.
These are American.
Yeah, these are
American. America, we're in America, yeah. As opposed to what? The Afghani ones? What do you mean?
A lot of Persians are like really religious.
I know. When it comes to Yom Kippur, I know. Because I know the community very, very well.
I have like 15 children.
I know Great Neck very, very well. I'm there regularly giving classes. The vast majority of them will fast all of Yom Kippur. If there's some that don't, that's the anomaly in that community. That's your anomaly. And not eating for Persians is also very, very difficult. You know, I'm speaking as a, it's just reality. You know, go without Choresh for a few hours, you can shoot yourself. I'm saying that's not easy. Persians have to eat. Yes.
I have a question. Is it still considered fasting if you're like watching TV or like?
Yes. Yes, it is. Gabriel Ben Hutta, that's a very, very good question. Very good question. Watching TV. Although, I guess, I'm not saying a person should watch TV Yom Kippur, but fasting is actually fasting. Now, the Gemara actually says, a person, listen, since you're fasting, you might as well get all the benefit, and you're breaking Yom Kippur in other ways. But fasting is still fasting. That's its own thing. Yeah. And again, I'm not judging. The numbers represent declines from the 2000-2001 survey, which was the last big one, which found participants rates at 78% doing Yom Kippur Seder. Pesach Seder. So it was 78%, now it's gone down. And Yom Kippur was 60%, down to 53%. The numbers are... Why? They're hungry! Why do I think it's going? Oh, that's how it are. Why is this doesn't discuss? This is the what. If you want to know why, remain in my class for the next year and I'll teach you why Jews are assimilating faster than you can shove some kugel in your mouth at a Shabbos Kiddush. And that's pretty fast. Trust me, I've seen it. Yes.
But that has to do with also like the God and religion, because each generation made it farther, farther away, so it's hard to keep it.
No, not necessarily.
Do they say that? They're like, each generation, from beginning to Adam Chava, each generation, people are farther, farther, farther away.
It's not true. There have been ups and downs in Jewish history. Certain things have pulled us closer, some have pulled us further away. Sometimes pogroms can bring us closer religiously. Sometimes exiles can bring us closer. Sometimes when you're in a beautiful country like America, that you do whatever you want, it can actually push you further away. It's a statement. I want to know what's going on in Israel, by the way. I'd love to know what's going on in Israel and these numbers in Israel. What percent of Israelis fast? I need to look that up. You think most of them fast Yom Kippur?
The whole country shuts down.
It does shut. That's true. That's true.
It's definitely
in your face.
Yeah.
It's definitely in your face. No doubt about that. Yeah, that's for sure. What, not eating? Or is less food? Oh, because everyone's doing it. The family's doing it. Some people are dying. It becomes more of a cultural thing. Here in America, it's losing the cultural aspect as well. Well, most of those surveyed by the Pew said they felt a strong connection to Israel, and 23% reported having visited the Jewish state more than once. The respondents expressed significant reservations about the current Israeli government policies vis-a-vis the Palestinians. We're going to leave that for the time being, because I don't want to get political today. Oh, but they carry on. 44% said West Bank settlement construction hurts Israel's security interests. And only 17% said continued settlement construction is helpful to Israeli security. 38% of respondents said that Israeli government is making a sincere effort with the Palestinians. 38%. We're going to leave that now because I don't go into politics, but I have my thoughts and ideas on that. But once I start, I'm not going to stop. So we're going to carry on. The Pew survey also asked respondents about what it means to be Jewish. This is interesting. What does it mean to be Jewish? Offering several options. This, by the way, completely blew me away. When I read this, I mean, I knew this was a problem. And I knew this was a challenge. And I want to put into context when I say it, because it's a very sensitive subject. But this shocked me greatly, more than anything else, by the way, and upset me. The Pew survey said the most popular element for a person when asked what it means to be Jewish, was?
Holocaust. I don't know. No, but like survivors of Holocaust or something.
What do you think? Jewish. What's the most important element of being Jewish?
That's what I was thinking.
Challah?
Yeah.
That's it? 3,500 years Jewish history. A bread. For me, being Jewish, it's a bread. What's most, well, no, in terms of meaning, what gives you the most meaning is what they're asking. Not what makes you Jewish. But what actually like gives you meaning in terms of being Jewish? Challah could be an answer. Shabbos could be an answer.
Believing in God.
We're going to discuss what most American Jews think about believing in God in a few moments. And believe me, it's much less than the rest of America. Much, much less. Now, the most popular element in terms of the Jewish meaning was the Holocaust at 73%.
That makes sense.
What's the most important thing to you as being Jewish? The Holocaust.
No, not that it's the most. It's the thing that all Jews know that they were a part of. Like, even my friends,
that, but it's
not religious, they know that the Holocaust existed.
So the most, but it's, you know what? They gave options over here. Right? Leading an ethical life. That's like big, isn't it? That was lower than the Holocaust. 69%. Listen, this is covering everyone. This is Jews and non-Jews. So Jewish Jews are not affected by the Holocaust, no. I don't know. But you know what? But it could be that a Sephardi Jew as well could turn around and say, you know what, that's an important thing. We've got to, you know, the Holocaust, remembering the Holocaust. Now, and let me be very clear. Holocaust education is very important. I personally lead trips to Poland pretty much every year with 40, 50 students. And we go to the concentration camps. And Holocaust education and awareness is important. But it is not a religion. The death of 6 million Jews from the years 1939 to 1945 does not represent Judaism. It is a very terrible event that happened to our people. I mean, it is not unique in many ways. Many Jews were killed, many more Jews over history. This happens to be a very compacted, recent version of it. But to make that a religion, which it is for a lot of people, I think most people, my meaning comes to the Holocaust, I think the main problem with it is that when you take kids, and we're talking about, you know, educating the next generations at the big thing, you know, everyone's trying to figure out, and say, what's being Jewish? What does Jewish being Jewish mean to you? The Holocaust. They're like, that's horrible. So basically, your only connection to Judaism is dead Jews. I mean, put it, sorry to be so frank and so blunt about it. So they're like, well, then I'd rather not be Jewish. Because if all Judaism is dead Jews and anti-Semitism, isn't it make more sense not to be Jewish? And that way we won't be killed? I mean, isn't that the logical conclusion a person will reach in their own heads? That's what I would have said to myself. Hannah?
But probably a lot of Jews who are, like, probably most of the people who said that answer are very secular and don't really connect to anything, but the Holocaust, even though it happened 70, 80 years ago, is still such a hot topic.
Yes.
People discuss it, and I know, like,
yes.
Like, I was in public school for a while, and there was, like, four Jews in the whole public school, and when we did...
You had four Jews in your public school? Wow.
Maybe, like, a few more, but, like, when we did, like, a whole Holocaust unit, and...
Yeah.
People were sensitive to it, but like I know, like the four of us took everything that everybody said very personally.
Yeah.
But they still don't do.
Yeah. And yeah.
So I think it's more like.
I think. I mean, I hear this. You know, this Holocaust education is a big thing, but I'm still that many Jews are saying their meaning, their top thing in terms of being Jewish is the Holocaust. I find that sad.
Well,
I find it sad on a number of levels that's how they identify as Jews, Devorah.
Horrible tragedy, and they won't be able to choose the ethical life because as important as their life is, they will say, but so many Jews died.
You're saying. Well, there are a bunch of options. They didn't write down over here. I'm looking at the synopsis over here. They didn't write down what the other options were. But of the two, well, even leaving ethical life out of it, I'm just shocked how many Jews identify as being Jewish because of the Holocaust. Really, I really.
Because the religion, Jewish religion, gets obscured. Like here in the States, you're talking to 60 people, their religion, the way they view it, the way they see it, a lot of their time has been harmed by, I'm not saying scribes, but they see like religious truth, they're like, they get this.
You know what, there's no doubt about it. It shows that Holocaust, it's easy to relate to, for sure, and it just shows how well Holocaust education is doing. Holocaust education, not that we've managed to stop Holocaust and genocides in the meantime, so it's probably irrelevant in terms of that. And Jews, people still killing Jews left, right, and center. If not Nazis, then others are willing to destroy us. So it's not even working. However, to say that's my Judaism, I just Tiffany. There's no doubt. Listen, they've done. Yeah, that's right. That's a problem, Tiffany.
I think it makes sense though why this relationship is so high because Jews are opting out of Judaism because they don't know what it really is. To them, it's like a Holocaust, and they're connected to something
right.
That.
It's a tangible, right? The weak Jew, and we will survive. They don't know how to survive. By the way, eventually the Holocaust will remove itself. It's just natural. It's going to happen. Will remove itself from its national memory. It's going to be. What's talking about? Are you still talking about the pogroms? You still talking about all the Christian pogroms? Eventually, the Holocaust will. No, you don't. You don't walk around saying. The pogroms in 1190, the Jews in York were killed in 1190, and they all started, no one's doing that. Eventually, it's got a line in the history book. Eventually, over the next 100, 200 years, Holocaust, right, will be something remembered, but it will remove itself from our national conscience. It's what's going to happen. At that point, what's up to these 73%? What are they going to do? Once the Holocaust removes itself, by the second, third generation, it's gone, right? First generation, they remember it. Second generation, children of Holocaust survivors, they connect to it. Third generation, which we're living in now, 3G, there's an organization called 3G that actually started out in my center. They're like with the third generation. They are still connected because it's their grandparents. They met the grandparents. But once it happens to your great-grandparents, who most of us do not meet, then it's forgotten. And once it's our great-great-grandparents, actually, I take it back. You don't have to go hundreds of years. You go another extra generation, it's forgotten. It's forgotten. It's gone. They'll know, but it's not part of our national conscience. It's not part of our... We're not thinking about it. We're not always worrying about it. And the Holocaust, never again, and trips. It will be lessened greatly. And it will be there, remembered, but each subsequent generation feels less connected to it. At that point, these 73%, what are they going to do? I guess go back to bagels. I don't know what to... Yes, Rachel, sorry. Is that what you're saying?
Feel that it happened to our family. Because even if you think about, like, oh, I took you out of Egypt. To me, that sounds like, okay, well, great, we got out of Egypt. But, like, I can't identify with that.
That's a very good question. You're saying, one second. There was another Holocaust that happened to the Jewish people 3,500 years ago when we were in Egypt, and thousands were killed, and thousands were tortured, and you know what's amazing? That actually shows the amazingness of Pesach, that we are still able to keep Pesach, and by the way, the majority of the Jews, 70% keep the Pesach Seder, part of our national conscience by doing it every year. The Holocaust, that's not going to happen with. It's just not going to happen. But what you're saying actually shows the incredible aspect of the Jewish people that Pesach has remained part of our national conscience for 3,500 years. That took a lot of effort, by the way.
I'm just saying that in addition, but like it's easy to explain that why we identify with a concrete thing that we can go to Poland and see.
Right.
So it's not.
Yeah, but I'm saying my point is right.
Yeah,
that's now. That's now. But it is going. It will go.
Yeah,
there's just no way it can keep going.
Something else will take its place. After the Inquisition, everybody was with the Inquisition. Well, they had some type of
morals,
and then came the Holocaust. That was the next tragedy.
Right.
So if you're saying people forget, then God forbid.
Something is going to take its place. It's not possible. It'll be remembered. I'm not saying the Holocaust will be forgotten, heaven forbid, and it shouldn't be. And it should be educated, and we have to... I find it very disconcerting that it's become to represent our religion when it actually has very little to do with who we are as a people, the fact that we were killed. It's had a tremendous effect upon us, but that representing Judaism is actually keeping the Holocaust going to some degree.
If people think like it's just a question to be Jewish.
I'm saying, we're trying to figure out what it is to be Jewish. They're saying being Jewish to me is Holocaust. I just...
But like, doesn't it make us stick together? Like, if I really being harassed,
that's not even... That's a very, very interesting comment. Does the anti-Semitism in general, you want to say, forget the Holocaust, but anti-Semitism, does that keep us together? So interestingly enough, it seems to, but it's unpleasant. In other words, if you look at communities who are not allowed to intermarry, which is where it used to be for thousands of years, you couldn't marry, right, the non-Jewish population, you're a Jew, you had to remain a Jew, happens to be that assimilation in those societies and countries were very, very low, highly unpleasant. I would prefer to be here in America, where I'm free, thank God, because it's a great country, to worship my God and to... However, we see that as soon as we're given so much freedom, we completely assimilate and intermarry, which we see. But when the screws turned on, suddenly we become a lot more more Jewish. So you're right. And by the way, if you were God and you wanted to keep the Jewish people Jewish, which would you choose? I mean, we don't want that to happen, though. Let me be very, very clear with you. We would very much rather live in a great country like America or Israel, where we are given freedom of religion. Okay? Not in other countries where we're given freedom from religion. But yeah, statistically, it seems that Jews, when they're not allowed to marry non-Jews and assimilate, you have to remember, Jews couldn't work in professions. I mean, it used to be, I'll give you 1 second, Tiffany. It used to be that Jews were not allowed to work in other professions. They couldn't even work. Right? Why were the Jews the money lenders? That's the only profession they were given. You know what I'm saying? It was the easiest, and they were given that, and that's what they were doing that, because that was all they were allowed to do. Okay? And then, when the sometimes they could not able to repay the money, they would, you know, just kill the Jew, get rid of him and the debt. It was a very dangerous profession to be in, but that was all they were allowed to work. So it used to be the Jew. I mean, for us, it's alien, but there were certain professions, and now we live in America, the idea is abhorrent to us, you know? But that's the way it used to be. That's what it used to be. Tiffany.
Do you think that like all the birth rate trips that have been running for like the last 12 years or something, do you think that...
13 years.
13 years. Do you think that this shows a, like a failure?
So, in their, the way very, that's a great question. That's very great. If you look, I work for, I work for Birthright. My other job is working for Birthright. I work for Birthright. They do their own statistics. They speak to respondents before, and then they do surveys afterwards. Okay? And they do surveys with Birthright alumni. There is no doubt. There is no doubt that even the most secular Birthright, some secular trips are very, very secular. They're not religious in any way, shape, or form. Some very religious, right? They have all different denominations. They have the Hillel trips. You have Lubavitch, Maynot trips, by the way. You'll have Reform do their trips. Universal among all those trips is definitely mentioned that their identity increases greatly because of this one trip. Just being in the land of Israel. By the way, when we're going to discuss, we'll do a few classes on the land of Israel. There is something inherent in the Kedusha of Eretz Israel, the holiness of the land of Israel, that leads a person to this. There is something inherent which stands in contrast to the amount of assimilation and non-observance by the Jews in Israel. So there's no doubt about that. And that's a whole different question of what happens to the Jews in Israel itself. There has to be, you're going to have to push them far away in order to get them far away. There is something about Israel that actually pushes a person to either go with or against. The Birthright trips, however, when they ask them about the, would they now intermarry, they will, the chance of it become much, much less. Okay. The numbers definitely improve. But you're saying, 1 second, we've had well over 100,000 Jews gone Birthright, and the numbers still getting worse. But you have to remember that 100,000 out of 6.8 million, whatever it is, it's pretty small.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So even Birthright is a, you know, they can only, remember, only 1 in 4 people are accepted to Birthright.
Right.
So the majority can't, even get on.
Why?
Because they can't get enough money to send more people. Instead of charity, they give free trips. They only give free trips, it ain't free, the trip, it's just someone else is paying for it.
Right.
So they got to get the money in. So they need the Sheldon Adelsons or the Michael Steinhardts, you know, these, you know, great, amazing philanthropists to give money. Right? And they fundraise off, and by the way, the amount of money in the Jewish world that goes towards Jewish causes is very, very, very small. The amount of money given by Jews that go to Jewish causes, birthrights and the like, is much, much smaller than going to non-Jewish causes like, I mean, still very good causes. I'm talking hospitals and libraries, you know, the Goldstein Library and the Miriam Goldberg Theater for the Arts. That's a non-Jewish cause, you know, or to cancer research. So most Jewish money goes to non-Jewish causes. You realize that? Yeah.
Then who's like to blame for this? Like, for example...
Who's to blame for this?
You
want to start blaming people?
There's so much to be blamed for this. Yeah. Like, if, for example, if I wanted to send my kids to like a private school, like just to a Jewish school, it costs so much money to do that. So like, instead of doing that, I'll just send my kids to a public school. So that just decreases my chances of like my kid being more religious. So it's like...
There's a big problem. There's a big problem. 56%, you're absolutely right. I mean, I have my theories on this too, and you're going to hear them, God willing. 56% cited working for justice and equality. 43% said caring about Israel. 42% said having a good sense of humor. And 19% said observing Jewish law. What is this? Oh, that's the continuation of having meaning. 19. But who knows what that means? That could be anything. That could be, you know, eating a matzah. 62% of respondents said being, this is near the end, 62% of respondents said being Jewish is primarily a matter of ancestry and culture. So 60% of Jews are cultural. It's a cultural thing, not a religious thing, there's no God. 15% said it was mainly a matter of religion, being Jewish. Most Jews said it is not necessary to believe in God to be Jewish. That's a bit misleading, actually, because they're right. I mean, being obviously believing in God is a very important thing, but you're still Jewish without believing in God. So that's... In the survey, 60% said a person cannot be Jewish and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That means 60%, and this is the end, said a person cannot be Jewish and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That means 40% said that you can be Jewish and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. 40% said it's okay for Jews to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Ain't 40% of them. There's a lot of Jews for Jews. Ain't 40% of them. I mean, am I on the right planet? I can't even, I'm like... It is a weird question, but you know what? It would be okay had 0% said it's okay to be Jewish. Maybe the 1% who are Jew, J for J, Jews for Jesus. But 40%? Well, they're all misinformed. We know that.
Yeah,
everyone's misinformed.
I understand that, but like...
That's isn't that a problem? That's a problem. Yes, Rachel.
The exact quote says they believe you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, but that being said...
Do you know, Jesus is the Messiah. Not just believe in Jesus.
What was the exact quote?
I'm reading for you exactly. Well, I haven't got the original, but here's the numbers. Okay. Most Jews said it is not necessary to believe in God to be Jewish.
Uh-huh.
That's the majority.
Okay.
In the survey, 60% said a person cannot be Jewish and believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Okay, but they said they cannot be Jewish and believe Jesus is the Messiah. I'm a Jew, so no matter what, my kids are going to be Jews, regardless of...
I hear what you're saying. Okay, fine. I hear what you're saying, but that's how we understand it. I believe that is not how most people say it. Most people say it's okay to be Jewish and believe in the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking that way. It's okay to be Jewish, and I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Whatever. If he wants to believe that, that's still okay. That's how they answered the question. They didn't go into it in some depth over there.
I'm sure some of them did. They interviewed the spectrum of people. So I'm sure there had to be people going, okay,
yes, 60%,
well, no matter what,
60% with a 3-point differential, as opposed to 40% who said it's okay.
But you know that if a Jew is born, regardless, even if they decide they believe in Jesus, he's still...
They're still Jewish, absolutely. I don't believe that's how they were taking the question.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying, and I'd like to think the same thing. But that's not they didn't see that sophistication. They're thinking, you're Jewish, Jesus is Messiah.
Are you sure?
I believe that to be true.
40% that are more cultural than, like, that
you know what? This is beyond culture. This is like, I'm fine. For me, Judaism is cultural. It's bagels. It's I'm a lawyer. My parents want to become a doctor. But Jesus is Messiah? Hello?
Jewish, you're a Jew. I think
you'll be very surprised how few people actually believe that.
I know, but
you'll be surprised. You're trying to find benefit of the doubt.
Sure
I agree with you. It terrifies me. By the way, I don't think those 40. I don't think. Oh, no, one second, Rachel. I don't think 40% of them believe Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
They just have no problem with it. Doesn't say they're out there like, you know, in the churches kissing the cross. That's not what they're saying. They're not saying they are Jewish Christians, whatever the heck that means. They are saying that you want to believe Jesus is the Messiah? That's fine. That's all good. That's all you're Jewish, whatever. Believe that. I'm an optimist. I'm hoping that we can change this. Hannah.
Do you have any idea how, like, roughly how many of these 6.8 million Jews in America are actually Jewish because of how many people have.
Well, you see, the problem with. Okay, fine. You're asking the big question. And what's the big question? What is a Jew? So when they do this, in other words, that's big. How does a person identify? Because Orthodoxy has rules about that, and Conservative Judaism has rules about that, and Reformers rules about that. Everyone's got their definition of what is a Jew. Some were liberal and some not. But everyone pretty much has a definition of what is a Jew. I don't think over here, it seems to me as though it went with, do you identify as Jewish?
No, I know, but I'm saying
so of those, so in other words, it's hard for them. This is the big question. What's a Jew is a big, big question. Right? If you say you're Jewish, if you look Jewish, if you like, you know, bagels and lox, it's hard really to do it. When they did this, I'm sure they said this. Do you identify as Jewish? Yes. Are you cultural Jewish? Are you a Jesus believer? Are you Reformed, conservative? Or that's why they do it. It was purely on the basis of identification.
It sounds like a big number that there are 6.8 million Jews in the United States, but really it could be something like, I don't know, like 4 million.
Well, depends how you look at it.
Depends
how you look at it. In other words, if from the Orthodox perspective, right, where your mother makes you Jewish, then yeah. You know, I mean, with the intermarriage rate the way it is. Although, you know what I want to know, which I haven't read anywhere, but I have my own feelings, thoughts about it, is among the intermarried, is it mostly Jewish men and non-Jewish women? Or Jewish women, non-Jewish men? I happen to believe, for the vast majority, it's Jewish men with non-Jewish women. I believe that to be the case. But I've not seen any statistics. I'd like to know. I miss Saul must have done this thing. Are you intermarried? Because that makes a difference as well. No. If that's the case, then most Jewish kids are going to be Jewish. Yeah, wait, right. We know that. We're not saying that.
Also, that means that, although there's so many, like, Jewish men will marry some, women who's not Jewish. Like, I know many families like this, and then the woman will convert to, like, Reconstructionist
rabbi. Yeah, they'll find some other way to, we'll do a.
And then everyone says they're Jewish.
Yeah. This is all of them. We're in this survey. That means 6.8 is all the people, even those people who went to, conversion.com. Right, took a 1 week course and said I'm Jewish. Or maybe someone married a Jewish spouse and said I'm Jewish now and just said it. They say that.
First of all,
all the non-Jews
want to marry Jewish men, but also Americans. No, it's true,
because
like Jewish men, they know, respect women, and they're like
educated. I believe that there's a lot more non-Jewish women that want to marry Jewish men as opposed to non-Jewish men who want to marry Jewish women.
Like in my school,
I have no statistics on that. It's pure speculation, postulation, revelation. I ain't worried. I know it's true. Look around. You've seen them all. You know what I'm saying?
In my school, there was like three or four non-Jewish teachers, female, who married
Jewish men. Yeah, they have Jewish men. That's right. They have Jewish names. Right,
yeah,
but like, African American Goldbergs. Whoopee. Yes.
But there's also, like, even if you consider the people that, if you say their conversion's not up to par, like their kids aren't, or however they identify, I also know a bunch of cases where they were born to Jewish women, but they were brought up, now granted, I come from a Catholic school system, so they're brought up in the Catholic school, and that tends to have a polarizing effect, where they're either like, oh yeah, my mom's Jewish, but I'm a Catholic.
Say something interesting. It's not the Catholic school. Many of my friends went to Catholic school in England or Christian of England, Church of England schools, and actually stayed very, very observant. You'll be surprised. If the education is good outside, you'll be surprised.
Well, no, I'm saying it has a polarizing effect in that, like, if that's what they're led to do, that's fine. Or, at least I noticed, otherwise they go, like, no, I'm, like, a Jew. Like, that's great, you have Jesus, but not us. Except a lot of those kids that are brought up in the kind of just let the school educate them system, they don't even realize that they would be Jews.
But that means they are Jews. I mean, they would be Jews. That means they are Jews. They got no idea. You ask most public school kids out there in America. And by the way, we live here in New York, most of us. And I have the same problem. My wife says to me, because I only came to America 16, 17 years ago. My wife says to me, you view America as New York. America is not New York. There's a whole America. New York and California is one thing. Then you have this big stuff going on in the middle, right? Which is a whole different reality. So public school kids in New York, of which we have, a million Jews in New York, the vast majority are outside. You have all the ones who are in Cleveland. You have the ones who are in Arizona. You have the ones who are in Tennessee. You have them all over the veldt. They're all over the place. Those public school kids are having a very different relationship to their Judaism than ones who are here, who are at least possibly. In other words, you go to public school in Great Neck, that's a Jewish school.
75% of the people in my school are Jewish.
right? As opposed to in Boston, where Chana was, where like two Jews out of... So it's a very different reality. You can't just say public schools. Depends where they are. Depends where they are. We shall be discussing the idea of whether Judaism is a race or religion in the upcoming classes, God willing. You're in the right place, Marjorie. That one thing I do know is that you are meant to be here in my class. That we know already. We're not a race. We are a nation, an A race goes by certain... We're also not just an ethnicity, which means we have cultural clothing and foods that we eat. We have ethnic things, but we are not a race. We are a nation. Hitler called us a race. Right? And that's why he said this race has to be wiped out. We are a nation, an That's why we come in all different sizes and colors. We are a nation. Well, what nation means, we'll look at God willing next class. We'll start on Monday. See you, most of you, please, God, over Shabbat. Have a great day.